We have received information in social media that some of the criminals were going to take their criminal conduct into the neighborhoods. I would tell them, if you value your life, you probably shouldn't do that in Polk County, because the people of Polk County like guns. They have guns. I encourage them to own guns. And they're going to be in their homes tonight with their guns loaded. And if you try to break into their homes to steal, to set fires, I'm highly recommending they blow you back out of the house with their guns. So leave the community alone.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
That clip just before the show theme is from Sheriff Grady of Polk County, Florida. I love that guy. And his clip is all over the internet, but in most cases, the last 30 seconds are missing. Here they are.
All of that ugliness has taken away from what we're united about. We're united about the conduct that you saw with George, where his life was taken with a knee to the neck. It's horrific, and there's not enough words to explain that. Let's get the focus on that.
I had to dig for a while to find the full clip because media, mainstream media, chops it off early before he says he's just as disturbed by the death of George Floyd as anyone would be. But most media outfits delete that part because they want to paint him as a gun-loving redneck instead of the righteously cool stand-up dude that he is. But even without the ending, it's a fantastic, evergreen quote. Anyone breaking into a home should do so at risk of being shot dead. That would really reduce home invasions. I have a little experience in that realm, which I related in bonus episode 2 at patreon.com/thatlarryshow. Check it out. Now, since this show began over 3 years ago, I have made a deliberate and sustained effort to avoid politics as much as possible. I try not to mention parties or politicians by name. We're drowning in political broadcasts and podcasts. You get too much of that already. You don't need any more from me. My only political commentary has been that communism, which is disguised as socialism, progressivism, different names for the same shit. Communism by any name is a cancer upon the face of the earth and remains the cause of more suffering and death than wars or natural disasters. Only a few diseases have outperformed communism when it comes to killing people. That's how evil it is. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to take a bow here. In the extremely overhyped crisis, the Wuhan virus pandemic, I did predict that the pandemic was but the first shoe, that another shoe had yet to drop, and now it has. And there may be a third shoe, but it will be more like a meteor strike. More on that later. And I still would prefer to avoid politics, but when I drive down the main drag in my neighborhood where I live and raise my kids, and every business, from mom-and-pop convenience stores to massive retailers like Target, are boarded up in fear. When I drive down a boulevard I have traversed thousands of times in peace, and traffic is suddenly stopped by organized criminals, fucking terrorists, blockading the street. And I have to wonder if I'm going to get out of there alive. Well, now I am going to talk politics. I didn't get into this to make friends, although I have made a great many wonderful, kind, enlightened people who have been hanging with me here. We have a lot of fun together. The comments, the emails, the back and forth on Facebook and Twitter, and those stellar listeners who support this show through Patreon. I've had the pleasure of connecting with some of you at a saloon or shooting range. Good times. I'm not just grateful, I am honored by your support. There are over 700,000 podcasts out there, and for you to choose mine, well, I can't think of a higher compliment. Thank you. You all know I'm a word freak, but underlying that, I'm a truth freak. And outside of our actions and the way we live our lives, words are all we have to distinguish between truth and lies. Since the new year, we have been drowning in lies and bullshit about the pandemic. But this new American communist coup, which is being mislabeled social unrest, a second civil war, it is going to top the pandemic for pain and suffering and lies. These lies are being told by religious fanatics, and the religion is communism. They have hijacked a horrific event, the killing of George Floyd, and weaponized it to destroy America. There is no hyperbole in that statement. Zero. That's exactly what's happening at this very moment. The commie coup in the United States, which has been in progress for a century, just turned hot. Violence in the streets. I've seen scenes from this movie before in Los Angeles in 1992. Ooh, but that was different from this. Way, way different. In 92 in LA, it was bad. The place looked like a war zone. The skyline resembled a mat from some apocalyptic movie. Countless columns of smoke as far as the eye could see. During that week, I drove to work with a loaded revolver on the seat. By the second day, one of LA's top cops actually made this statement on the evening news. Quote, "Our response time to 911 calls is now north of 8 hours. So folks, you're on your own." Unquote. That's anarchy. It was scary. People were tense, but it was nowhere near as fucked up as this situation right now, which the lying media is once again calling civil unrest. Peaceful protests are civil unrest. People carrying signs, yelling stuff through bullhorns, getting petitions signed. That's a protest, and that's cool. That's every American's right to peacefully assemble and make ourselves heard. Looting, vandalism, arson, and assault is not unrest. That's crime. That's terrorism. But what makes this so very different from Los Angeles in 92 is Rodney King and the brutal beating he took from LAPD happened right here. And aren't we always most emotional about the local stories? Well, of course, that's human nature. People were furious, and they had every right to be. But you knew that in time, things would cool down. Rodney himself stood before the world and said his famous line, "Can't we all get along?" And somehow people did. Not only because of Rodney's heartfelt request, but because the entire city had had enough. And the cops and the National Guard, oh, they were here too. They were empowered to do what they had to do to restore peace. With force, if necessary, including lethal force. Back in 92, although the city was on edge, the city and the cops did not take a fucking knee in surrender to violent criminals. As several high-ranking cops have done here, on video, and in New York, North Carolina, and other cities around the country. What were those cops thinking? Do they wonder why the leaders of the violent mobs they face are demanding that they take a knee? Do those cops actually believe that it's some kind of a peace offering, a gesture of goodwill? Because in every still image and video of those cops taking a knee, the other guys, who are invariably Antifa filth, they're not kneeling. Many of them are standing as cops kneel. It was like General Zod with the president in fucking Superman 2. Do those cops have any notion of what the optics of that are? Being flashed around the globe and viewed by millions and millions. It doesn't matter what the intent of the cops was. The images and video that remain forever, they say only one thing. Surrender. Submission. We give up. It does not have a fucking thing to do with George Floyd or racial tensions. None of it. It's the defeat of America. Is anybody wondering why the Antifa criminals demanding cops across the country kneel before them? It kind of sort of looks like it was a command issued from somebody somewhere. Doesn't it look that way? Real strange that it's happened again and again. In 92, the merchants did not board up their businesses all over this vast city in fear because rioters then were not organized and infiltrated by communists targeting neighborhoods with threats and then making good on those threats. And the cops were not given orders by City Hall to stand down and let the city burn. They were ordered to do what they are paid to do. Control the fucking streets. This is not civil unrest. These are not even riots. This is domestic terrorism. It's planned, it's financed, supplied, and orchestrated in every major city across the country simultaneously. Does something like that happen organically? Fuck no. No more than all those bricks magically appeared at the site of so many riots. No more than Antifa and other organized commie groups handed out $20s and $50 bills incentivizing people to break windows and torch cars. And what other groups besides Antifa? Oh, there are many. In Minneapolis, which is ground zero for mayhem, that's the home to the DSA. That's the Democratic Socialists of America. That chapter is over 600 strong and well-financed. What message did America and the world get when Minneapolis cops ran, likely at the command of their manlet mayor, Jason Fry, ran from their precinct as it was overtaken and burned? What was Fry thinking? Well, I'll tell you what he's thinking. He's worried about the optics. How it would look if cops stood their ground. Well, who knows, maybe. Maybe Jason is part of the conspiracy. He is a member of the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, which says right on their webpage, quote, has a rich history of electing strong progressive leaders. Ding, ding, ding. There it is, progressive. It's a code word for commie. The Democratic Socialists of America have a significant presence in Atlanta, L.A., Seattle, Memphis, and more. Then there's the Workers' World Party with chapters in 15 cities around America. Let's not leave out the Revolutionary Communist Party. They're out-and-out Maoists, and they may be commie scum, but they are honest commie scum. They tell us up front that they have been preparing, quote, to bring the system down and replace it with a new society based on the Constitution for the new socialist republic in North America, unquote. Well, that's pretty clear. And once they get it done, sounds like they're planning on merging Canada, Mexico, and the USA. There are others, lots of others. These riots are a deliberate attempt to cripple America, to deliver the death blow to a very, very sick economy, and to scare the living shit out of law-abiding citizens. And so far, it seems to be working. It's like the pandemic hype was just foreplay. Look how quickly America caved to the COVID panic and control, and how vast portions of the nation still live in fear of the virus. It went from social distancing to stay at home to wear a mask, all in an effort to flatten the curve. Well, the curve is flat, billiard table flat, but now it's stay frightened until there's a vaccine, or better still, a cure, which is an idiot's fantasy. The thing mutates, which negates the possibility of a cure. But maybe that's wrong. Seems like those riots have cured COVID-19, doesn't it? Nobody's concerned about social distancing when it comes to looting and arson. Those criminals, in their government-mandated masks, how convenient, they crowd together like they're in a clusterfuck. And have you heard even one healthcare professional bray about the risks they're taking? Funny, isn't it? It's really kind of sad the way an entire nation got conned. Not that the pandemic was a hoax, it was not. What was a hoax was the panic spread by alleged scientists who were actually liars, who predicted 2 million domestic deaths, and the media that broadcast those lies as if they were facts. So if people weren't frightened enough, well, now they're really scared shitless. And that's about 99% of the fault of the sleazebag, gutless politicians who are directing police to stand down. You see these horrific videos of street violence and vandalism and battalions of cops in full body armor just watching. In some videos, criminals get right in the cops' faces and curse them out and call them out, and some even spit at them. And they stand there and do nothing. What kind of message does that send? Not just to the criminals, but to the people who are counting on those cops for protection. Cops allowing themselves to be abused that way emboldens criminal filth, and I'm not blaming the cops. I'm sure they'd love to retaliate. Doubtless, they're just following orders. 2 nights ago, they looted Macy's in Manhattan. That store was a big, big part of my childhood. I couldn't begin to estimate how many times I walked through that place with my mom and my brother for pictures with Santa, to check out the toys or get a new winter coat. It was a wonderland. And now, it's a gutted shithole. Same as America is becoming a gutted shithole. Unless politicians start caring more about the citizens than their political careers and optics. I feel sorry for people in New York and LA and elsewhere that did not vote these assholes into office. And oh, let me be clear about assholes. I mean LA Mayor Snowflake Eric Garcetti, his punk doppelganger in Sacramento, Gavin Newsom, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio and his partner in crime in Albany, Andrew Cuomo, also known as Fredo Sr., and the man who single-handedly trimmed the Social Security and Medicare rolls by tens of thousands of senior citizens when he ordered COVID-infected patients into nursing homes, and the bodies piled up and up and up. And now, de Blasio and Cuomo are at each other's throats over the violence on New York City streets. Listen to what Cuomo had to say.
The NYPD and the mayor did not do their job last night. I believe that. Second, you have 38,000 NYPD people. It is the largest police department in the United States of America. Use 38,000 people and protect property. Use the police, protect property and people. Look at the videos. It was a disgrace.
Where were those New York City cops? 38,000 of them. Wow. That's a lot. In a much more compact area than L.A., were they under a stand-down order from Mayor de Blasio? De Blasio, who is a proven cop hater, and they probably hate him back. Maybe he ordered them to defend Macy's and they just went for coffee and donuts instead, and who could blame them? Why should they put themselves in harm's way for a mayor that undermines them at every turn? A quick note about de Blasio. His real surname is Wilhelm. He decided to change his name as an adult, which is not only creepy, it's alarmingly common among sleazy, deceptive politicians. Joe Stalin's real name was not Stalin, which means man of steel, and at 5'4" tall, little Joe had better have been made of steel. Everyone from Genghis Khan to Hitler changed their name. It seems to go hand in glove with megalomania and psychosis. LAPD Chief Michael Moore, who spells his first name Michelle, he gave the most sickening speech about the situation and uttered nothing remotely like a warning or a threat about looting or violence. What kind of message does that send? A clear one. Weakness. Endorsement. I did a little research on the chief, trying to figure out just how a guy hardwired in such a passive, non-confrontational way gets to head up one of the biggest and by far the best equipped police force in the nation. By far. And lo and behold, Chief Moore's real surname is Sanchitena. It's a Spanish Basque name. He says he changed it to Moore after encountering some prejudice in the South. What kind of a man does that? Abandons his surname and his heritage because he got some flack from idiots. Who does that? What does that say about a man? And he leads a police force? The greatest motivator for human beings is fear. More powerful than lust, greed, and anger, than any emotion. When frightened, people will do anything. Fear is the way commies have seized power throughout history. Every Bolshevik in Tsarist Russia was a violent criminal. Lenin, Stalin, Trotsky, bank robbers, train robbers, pedophiles, mass murderers, every one of them was garbage, junk people. Way before the party started and the revolution succeeded, Stalin robbed a stagecoach and killed 40 guys in that single job. And when the coach didn't stop as he hoped, he actually lobbed a bomb at the horses and blew them all over the street. Such a nice man, man of the people, committed to equality. It's been a little over 100 years since communist terrorists took over Russia. And there are some remarkable similarities, believe it or not, between Russia in 1917 and the United States right now. Before the commie takeover, Russia was an economic powerhouse. It was the world's largest exporter of food and had the largest gold reserves on Earth. The good times were rolling. Of course, there was poverty too, but nothing on the scope the commies ushered in. There was also tremendous private and public debt. Does any of that sound familiar? How much is the U.S. in debt now, post-scamdemic? $24 trillion, with a T. That's $82,000 from every person, adult and child, in the nation. Scary number. Add 40 million unemployed, plus hundreds of thousands more businesses destroyed by looters and curfews and fear, and you don't have to be psychic to see how easily the whole fucking thing could go sideways. The currency plummets, and not only will paychecks be missed, more importantly, meals will be. When food conglomerates can no longer stock supermarket shelves, and there's no money to buy the food with. At that point, any commie bag of shit like, Bernie Sanders, yeah, he's a commie bag of shit, or a Bernie acolyte or surrogate says,
vote for me and the government will take care of you.
And boom, this magnificent experiment in which we've all shared for 244 years is over. How did we get to where we are? Where all that we have worked for, and our parents and our grandparents worked for, is now at the brink of disaster. Well, our STEM-focused educational system has produced a generation of marginally literate people with zero understanding of history. Combine that with the fact that most college professors are card-carrying commies, and you've got a recipe for the toppling of America. A lot of these Antifa cockroaches are college professors. Remember that educator that split a man's skull with a bike lock? His name was Professor Eric Clanton, and he taught ethics. Isn't that rich? Ethics, yeah. He smashed a completely innocent dude, unprovoked, over the head with a bike lock. Clanton worked at some joke of a school called Diablo Valley College, and Professor Clanton was Antifa, and all felony charges against him were dropped. Instead of doing 11 years, which his crimes warranted, he did 4 days in a county jail and probation. What message did that send to Professor Clanton and his ilk? I was so curious, I took a look at Diablo Valley College. The homepage is hysterical. People dressed in fucking horned Viking helmets. Strangely, their logo is not a bike lock. Shouldn't it be? Oh, and it's a publicly supported college, which means my tax dollars help pay Professor Clanton's salary. Have you ever seen a college professor with calloused hands or breaking a sweat, running a business, meeting a payroll, creating a single goddamn job? Talk about living in a bubble. Plenty of them get free housing, Cadillac benefits, great retirement deals, and most of all, the starry-eyed adulation of legions of young, impressionable kids who have no idea they're looking at walking, talking assholes. So here we are at the precipice of doom. The other shoe has dropped. Unless this situation is handled with alacrity, there will be a third shoe, and as I said earlier, that will be more like a collision with Jupiter. There will be no coming back from it. What's the fix? There needs to be some fast legislation that makes domestic terrorism no different than foreign. Military trials, not civil, since they are waging war. Then, off they go to Gitmo, and if that lacks capacity, well then, how about all those FEMA camps we've been reading about for years? Lock them the fuck up and make them an example to others who might consider doing the same thing. Leon Trotsky was one of the architects of the terrorist events that formed the Soviet Union, which led to incalculable deaths and suffering. Oh, and as usual, he used a fake name too. His real name was Bronstein. But assholes just love to change their names. Trotsky was scum, but here's a quotation from him. The old principle, who does not work shall not eat, has been replaced with a new one. Who does not obey shall not eat. Unquote. And that, my friends, is what this fucking commie insurrection is all about. They want control of everyone and everything. And so they test the boundaries. They push them. And don't give a shit about anyone or anything but their quest for power. They've been stopping traffic all over the country. How many people stuck in those blockades were on their way for urgent medical care and could not get through? Millions of businesses have been bankrupted by the COVID con job, and now, just when they're about to open, they have to close again and board up for fear of commie violence. And what do they demand of cops above all else? Kneel for us. And they do. This is fucking beyond belief. And I'm far from alone in my thoughts. Someone sent me a link to a video by a dude named David J. Harris Jr. He has a massive social media following. Just give him a listen.
You're being duped. Just like all of us are being duped that any of these riots have anything whatsoever to do with the death of George Floyd. They've got nothing to do with the death of George Floyd. They've got everything to do with anarchists, individuals that are hijacking the death, absolutely disgracing the death and the memory of George Floyd. These riots have nothing to do with it. And for you that are virtual signal, you know, wait, I've got some good, well-meaning white friends of mine that feel it's their duty, it's their obligation to make these posts and say Black Lives Matter. You're feeling white guilt for no reason as a member of the black community. Can I tell you something? You're not doing me or anybody in the black community any favors by posting an all-black post and hashtagging Black Lives Matter. You know what? All lives matter.
Hmm. Well said, Mr. Harris. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. If you like what you just heard, please help me keep this thing going. Go to thatlarryshow.com and click the Patreon button. Help support the show. You'll find a ton more content and commentary there. And follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. These are very, very scary times for our nation. Be strong. Speak out. Say a prayer for America. And now, more than ever before, take no shit.